Welcome back to another episode of the Balcony Chatter Podcast. I am your host, Andrew McKenney, with my co-host, Tim Taylor.
Yes, sir.
And we're here to talk about playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
We got two teams in the playoffs.
Two?
Yep.
Out of how many we cover?
Out of two, actually.
Three. LAFC won last year.
Oh, right. I forgot. Celtics start off hot in the playoffs. Let's just get right into that because
And I do want to lean on a little bit of emphasis on start.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of a cold second half, considering how hot the first was. I think scoring under 120. I'm gonna nitpick. That's what I'm starting negative.
Please
What's
do.
Up, everybody? I do think only scoring 120. I'm sorry, not, only scoring 112 after having 74 in the first half. You know, not the best. 20 and 18, respectively, in the third and fourth quarter. You know, I just think two different teams showed up, and it worked out because the first one did so damn well. But that's just not going to fly. And I can deal without every half being like that first half. That first half was damn near perfect. If perfect exists, I think they achieved it. 74 points, over 60% shooting, everyone moving the ball. Jaylen Brown, unbelievable. Jason Tatum starts shooting a little cold, misses a couple of jump shots, takes it to the hoop like four or five times, and then just starts hitting threes. Just unbelievable first half from him. I loved seeing Sam Hauser minutes early in the first quarter. He wasn't making shots. I think that's a bigger stage. I think it's a bigger stage even at home. The Boston crowd was definitely there yesterday afternoon or whatever it was for you guys. Man, there was a play where we'll get into the offensive rebounding issue, but the Hawks kept getting a bunch of rebounds and we're up like 20. And then Al finally secures the rebound and goes to half court and like flexes and yells. And like the garden just like erupted for like the first big, like, Boston playoff roar we've seen of the season, first of many for both the ice and the parquet. And I don't know if I was just a little too high on weed or something. I had a gummy, but I teared up. I literally teared up.
Dude, shout
I was like, let's go!
Horford was on yesterday.
He's the man. He's the GOAT. This is his stage. Everyone on this team wants it, but he just wants it that much more. And that's fine. It's fine. Everyone wants it more than anything. But I don't know. There's something. He's playing ageless. It's just there's so much thing. I love how they staggered him and Robert Williams. I don't love how much bigger we are than the Hawks. And they're still getting all these offensive rebounds. There was a play where like Trae Young had a floater in the lane that he bricked and then got his own offensive rebound. And I don't think that was that much of a lucky bounce because three other Celtics players were in the paint and two of them were Al Horford and Robert Williams. So, you know, some notes, some issues, but overall, you know, exactly how we wanted game one to go in terms of results. But I want to keep that foot on the gas pedal. And again, I don't expect another perfect half in this series, but I don't think it's beyond this team either.
No, I'm with
you. Did it.
I'm with you 100% because I was starting to feel a little bit nervous when it was like down to 12 or, you know, they started getting closer and closer. And I was like, all right, boys, it's time to hit some buckets here because they were just coasting.
That is the turning point for this team all year. We've seen a team cut from 20 to 12, and you know it's going to be four in like a matter of
exactly.
minutes.
Exactly. I was getting a little bit
nervous.
Can
they hold off to win?
Yeah.
It like turns into a matter of the game. So, you know, I guess in that regard, we should give them a little bit of a pat on the back for keeping the arm's length. But like, it'd be so nice to just keep a 20-point lead when you have a 31.
Yeah.
Like it's just that it'd just be really nice, especially when you are playing all your players because it's the playoffs. Fine. Lead dwindles when everyone's playing the bottom of the bench, whatever. You know, not the case.
They said Trae Young was 6 foot on the broadcast yesterday, and it blew my mind because I was like, there's no way. I mean, not that that's tall, but it's not short either. And compared to everyone else on the court, he looks
so
tiny.
You thought he was shorter?
I thought he was shorter. Does he not look shorter?
I think 6 foot's pretty damn short.
Just compared to all the other guys on the court, I was like, there's no way that he's 6 foot. But you're also talking everyone else is like 6'5".
It is funny to think I'm taller than Trae Young. That is funny.
I bet you could probably beat him one-on-one, honestly.
Easy.
Yeah.
Easy. He's not going to make all those shots from the logo.
No.
And we play losers, so, like, I get the ball if he scores somehow. Like, all but he's not going to score on me.
No, yeah. That's true. He's going to get the ball a lot.
Yep. I'd work, Trey.
But no, I texted you at halftime. I was like, up 30. Is that good? That's a lot, dude. Yeah, like, in the playoffs is a lot.
It's just an insane amount.
Oh, let me say this too. I'm unhappy with the fact that they were like, at halftime, they're like, the Celtics got this game in the bag. Let's move on to game two. This is going to be a quick series. It's like, I don't care who it is and what team. Like, we thought we were going to win that game, and then they started getting closer. And obviously, we kept them far enough away that it wasn't like really a problem. But I don't want to say that about any team at any point in any series. Like,
that's fine. Let the broadcast say it.
Sure. It's just
these guys, the moment the team says it, we're going to lose. And I don't think they're dumb enough.
Yeah.
Like 80% of this team was there a year ago, was here a year ago. They know the job. They know the task at hand. You and I like to buy into the theory that, like, whoever was talking to Danny Ainge, who said they're bored right now with how sloppy they were a little bit down the stretch in the last month and a half or so. But now they're here, and, you know, in terms of that first, like, quarter, they certainly didn't come out slow, you know? Came out of the locker room in the second half pretty slow.
I love the fact that, you know, I love when right at the beginning everyone's like, so I wonder how Jaylen Brown's going to do. How's his hand doing? And immediately gets a steal and takes it up the court. Like,
Ripped his stitches.
Really?
Yeah. And then someone was like, "Ooh, that's a bad sign." I'm like, I think you could cut his finger off and he's going to drop 30.
At the very beginning of the game that happened?
I don't know when it happened, but at some point in the game, my understanding is that he ripped his stitches. And I would guess he played through it.
So that's basically going to happen the entire playoff run. Because there's no way that he's going to have the time to heal that.
I don't know. They'll just double it up this time.
Yeah. Throw some super glue on there.
Yeah. Yeah. Burn it.
Yeah,
I don't think he cares. I really don't. This post game, so sick. You know, my team depends on me. The city depends on me.
Yeah,
yeah, we do, bro.
Well, I mean, we've been talking about that forever. I mean, if Brown and Tatum aren't on, I suppose one of them could be on, but in the playoffs, it's probably less likely that you're going to need both to play well, at least well. They don't have to play amazing, but both of them have to play well in order for you to win. If he's off and Tatum didn't have his best game yesterday, he was fine. Don't get me wrong, but we've seen him play a lot better. Yeah, of course we depend on him. It's necessary for us in order to win it all this year. We do depend on him to be that superstar that he's able to be.
100%. 100%. We can't win without him. That's why we need him to be an all-NBA team and give him the biggest contract he can possibly get.
I know you're probably, I could tell watching the game, I was like, man, I hope he gets in there. I know Tim's going to be upset. No Grant Williams. Like, I know you probably were tearing up again, but I don't know if that was the gummy or if that was just the eternal sadness.
It's definitely the gummy.
Oh, okay, okay.
If that had happened. Personally, I like the move. Hauser didn't make a massive impact. Brogdon didn't have a massive impact. Derek White,
huge.
Can we reassume our position on the soapbox of Derek White, the same one we were on this time last year when he was in the gutter saying, don't worry, look at this guy.
He was pretty good.
Pretty good, as he's been all season.
Yep.
Leading the team in blocks, by the way, and having at least one, if not two, good ones yesterday. One very in the first minute. Starting instead of Robert Williams. Just look at this guy. You kidding me? Derek White.
Well, and that's another thing. Obviously, it's easy to say. Like, we need everyone to play well, but you need guys like him to come in and have a game like that in order to really. I know we're playing the Hawks right now. We should be able to beat up on them.
I'll be shocked if this is his only one.
Sure. No, it won't be.
Shocked. He can be this guy.
Yeah.
He can go on stretches. He can go cold too, but even on his cold stretches, he's getting around 10 points for you.
See, and that's my thing too, is like in all sports, if you're not playing bad, then that's almost that is a positive already. You know, if you're just playing good, if you're playing, you're not having turnovers, you're not making stupid plays, then that in my book is a positive. Because there's a lot of times
you count on your averages. So you're playing at your average. The team is still this good, X amount of good with your averages.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. I think that this is going to be a fun series. I don't think Atlanta's going to get blown out again in the next game, but you never know. You know, they're still a good team, but they're only as good as Trae Young, in my opinion.
They are. We didn't really get to preview this series because we weren't sure who we were going to face. Shout out to the Hawks for beating the Miami Heat. Shout out to the Miami Heat. I don't think we're going to have to play them, but, maybe they'll get through the Bucks. I don't know. That is now starting as we are recording here on Sunday afternoon. I don't actually think that'll be a series, but oh, actually that game's not starting. It's Lakers Grizzlies starting.
Let's go Memphis.
I don't think they're going to have to sweat. Oh boy. The Lakers could do a whole podcast on that team. I remember being mad at the deadline and I'm just like, I mean, I'll be shocked. And there's some like very reputable analysts out there. I don't think reputable, but big talking heads who are like, the Lakers will come out of the West. And I'm like,
sure.
The Lakers almost didn't come out of the play-in.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Shut up. But yeah, sorry. To circle back, I think the Hawks' biggest asset is Quinn Snyder. But he did come in mid-year. And at the end of the day, your coach is still your coach and you are the team. And they just simply do not have the pieces to outlast us in any world. I think the Hawks could get a game. My money would be going five over a sweep.
Yeah. I was just going to ask you that,
but the sweep, it's weird. I think it'll go five, but I expect us to sweep this team because I expect the team to not. It's a game where we lose whatever game that is,
sure.
A hypothetical game that is.
Yeah.
And, you know, God forbid it's any more than that. But I'm not worried about outlasting the Atlanta Hawks this year by any means.
Can I ask you real quick, to a little side note here, what are your thoughts on the Kyrie curse, the Dallas situation?
As a big Luka fan, I feel for them. I also don't think Kyrie was really the problem there, but therefore it does feel like a curse.
Yeah.
Like usually he's directly the curse and he's the storm and he's just ruining everything. And this time I think he showed up. I think he played pretty good basketball and like, you know, as far as his antics go, he's pretty been relatively mellow, but you know, that team plummeted after they made that move. It was wild. I believe they were fourth, if not fifth in the West, and just absolutely fell off. Obviously some injuries within there, I would say now it does feel like a curse because again, I don't think you can put this all on Kyrie.
Well, what was the fine that they got? Like how much was it?
$750,000, I think.
Which is basically nothing in terms of what basketball teams are worth and all of that.
In terms of Mark Cuban.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Like let alone any other NBA owner, but especially Mark Cuban. Yeah.
I only call it the Kyrie curse because it's like, it's so crazy that this is what happened. You know, they were obviously Luka is Luka, but they weren't expected.
He's happy and he's going to stay, but I don't see it.
I don't think they were expected to miss the playoffs. Am I right?
Hell no.
So
hell no. even as again, like, no one believed in Spencer Dinwiddie. No one thought Dorian Finney-Smith was this big guy. And then, like, they package all of them just to get Kyrie on an expiring year. And it's just like they live, like, it's like they sold their soul to the devil. And, like, the devil showed up and he's not even really helping. He's not hurting, but he's not, you know. They plummeted. They were expected to make the playoffs at the beginning of the year. And they were on track to make the playoffs when they made the trade.
Yep. Yeah, and then they lost.
And then they could have made the play-in still, And this is why they got fined, right. and they benched everybody.
Well, that's basically what I was asking you about.
That was the weirdest thing because they tried so hard against the Kings two nights before and won the game. They lose that Kings game. I don't think they get fined because it just like, you know, you can like not obviously sit people kind of, I don't know if you really want to tank to keep your draft pick. Cause that was the other thing. There was something about like, if they make the last seed, the Knicks would get their draft pick. But if they don't, they get to keep it. And so that was the big, like, why they sat everyone. But again, it just circles back to, why did you try so hard against the Kings a few nights before? Just super bizarre down there.
Yeah, what a weird situation.
Very bizarre year. And especially, like, if you get Luka and Kyrie in the 10 seed, like, they can make the play-in. And then if they get the 8 seed, which I think would be the best they can get from there, I think they could beat the Nuggets. I don't believe in the Nuggets. What have the Nuggets done with this core in the playoffs? Choked across the board. And it's Luka Doncic in the playoffs with Kyrie Irving. I don't know if they can drop 40 every night, but I bet they could do it a few times.
Right.
It was just the Dallas thing, just truly, truly, even outside. Yes, the Kyrie curse, but it's just so, it's really bizarre.
Yeah.
It's really bizarre. But even if they can keep Kyrie, they need a supporting cast. That team is just, it's just strange. No one else can really score. It's just, weird team over there.
Totally.
You gotta get a big three for Luka. And I don't know how well he can play with that, but he needs much more talent than he's ever had.
Well, let's go back to the team that's actually in the playoffs. And that team does not have Kyrie Irving. Just putting that out there, just making sure everybody knows that Kyrie Irving's not in the playoffs. But
any longer, and I can confidently say ever again. I'd really be.
You think Celtics in five?
I do, yeah, but I expect four.
All right, so let's just leave it at that then.
I think it's disappointing if we do it in five, but I think I'll be a slightly disappointed.
Wow,
I saw that second half. You put together two of the second halves we had yesterday. You lose a game.
No, I'm saying wow because you think that it's going to actually be in four.
I think yeah. I this team shouldn't beat us. They didn't all year. Why in the playoffs now? Like, what are they going to learn from us? They're going to learn that we're much better than them. I don't get it. We don't show up one game, they win. That's the only Hawks loss I see. Every loss to the Hawks is on the Celtics.
So
I don't care how loud Atlanta is in game three. I don't care how loud it is in game four. Every loss is on the Celtics. We're better than that. We beat them in Atlanta this year. We can do it again. The Atlanta playoff crowd. And I'm not dismissing that. The Atlanta Hawks are a historic franchise, and it will be loud in there. But I also think it'll be a little green in there because we travel, and we definitely travel to Atlanta. I don't know. This team can win. This team should sweep.
So I think it's a similar conversation with the Bruins. We've had this recently where we're not looking for a sweep. I'm not expecting a sweep by any means either now that we know who we're playing too, but
the graphic they posted was so perfect. They posted the record, they posted the final record for the season, and then they flipped them to zeros.
Yep.
And that's exactly what this is. You lose all expectations now. Well, everyone should lose all expectations now. It's playoff hockey. It's so much different than anything. That's why it's the best thing in sports. It's the best time of year. But, yeah, I mean, we're a better team. Once again, it's a we're a better team type deal.
It's ours to lose.
Do you think Swayman sees the ice?
I don't, to be honest with you. But I also it's one of my concerns because, obviously, Omark left the most recent game that he played with the apparent injury, and he's kind of been – missing from practice. I believe that he practiced today, which is a good thing. But I watched that game because I was there. I watched him the entire time because somebody had kind of tipped me off that on the broadcast he wasn't looking so hot at the beginning or whatever it was. And he was getting up real slow. So it definitely is a concern to me. Because if it was some sort of thing where he, you know, I feel like I pulled a groin a little bit or something like that. I mean, that's a lingering issue that's going to happen throughout the entire playoffs. And if you have a goaltender who's playing at even 80% throughout the entire playoffs, like that's just a recipe for disaster. So I'm hoping that it was less of a major injury and more of like a, you know, precautionary, like they said. They also said that he was fine, but it still gives me concerns. I think that Swayman has been playing decent. He let up a lot of goals the other night against the Canadiens up in Montreal, and missed practice due to an illness, I think, on Sunday. So we have some question marks going into the playoffs. Bergeron's a big question mark as well. Left the Montreal game early for precautionary, but and they said that he wanted to come back into the game, but they wouldn't let him. But he's missed practice ever since. And tomorrow, or if you're listening to this on release day, today is the first Bruins playoff game. So I am a little bit concerned. They said he's dealing with an upper body and an illness. So if he feels good enough, he will play, which means that unless he gets stabbed, he's going to be playing. Because basically nothing can keep him off the ice. And it just definitely concerns me because, you know, obviously he's a big piece of the team. He is the captain. He is Patrice Bergeron. But it's concerning. I don't know if you're as concerned as I am, but it is concerning to me.
I don't know. It's not like Patrice Bergeron's ever like played with like a collapsed lung. Oh wait, no, he did. I definitely am concerned. I do think he'll be out there, and I think he'll like kind of ease our concerns. But you know, it's you don't want to in any regard be even slightly limping into the Stanley Cup playoffs,
especially in the first round.
That's what I mean. Into like yeah. joint, like into the playoffs. This is the start of them. You expect to be limping through the rest of it. You know, this is leave it all on the line type hockey. Guys get banged up. It's how Patrice Bergeron again ends up in the Stanley Cup Finals with a collapsed lung from a broken rib that pierced that lung and still tried his hardest to stay in the game.
Right,
and played quite a bit considering. Pierce lung, insane. It's hugely concerning. Let's hope these illnesses go away. I don't think the illness part is a huge thing. It kind of again sucks with timing because like, you don't want to limp into the playoffs. But I don't know. I'm worried. I'm just hoping for the best. I don't know what else to do besides that. And I'm hoping like you know tonight as you're watching and happy Marathon Monday, everybody. As you're watching, we're all put at ease and everyone, you know, doesn't seem like anyone's missing a beat or slow to get up or slow to move or and they're all playing.
Yeah. And that's the interesting.
But yeah,
too.
Obviously it is concerning, but and then it's also concerning because if they could stay on the ice at 80%, but it's hurting the team, what happens then?
Right. That's what I'm curious to see what the lineup ends up being, because it sounds like Foligno is ready to be back in there. Forbort sounds like he's ready to be back in there as well. Obviously, we got the long-term IR thing where, you know, Badger was saying last week, are we doing this with Taylor Hall? No, but we're doing it with Foligno and Forbort. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what they put out there for a lineup because there are so many options and what is the best option for the matchup too. You know, they kind of have to keep that in mind. Like, yes, it's great to have Foligno back, but is he going to be too slow for a team like this, or is he going to be perfect for a team like this? Like, that's the question that, you know, I'm glad I'm not a head coach because I wouldn't know what to do in this situation.
Yeah.
But again, this is
Montgomery's good. Not only the, I don't think anybody commends Montgomery. I'm not going to say anybody. We don't commend Montgomery enough on his mid-game adjustments.
Yeah,
which I think a lot of coaches shy away from, and it hurts the team, and it understandably so, but I think it really works for this team, and anybody can, you know, the plug and play has bailed this team out in situations, and he's usually not one to even wait to make that decision. You know, he'll do it relatively quickly, or he'll do it in a way where he's just kind of pulling a guy out earlier on a shift and throwing another guy in on that shift with the other two guys who are already out there.
Yeah.
I just think it's, I don't know. I Montgomery, I trust in that regard. And yeah, and I couldn't do his job.
Now, how do you feel about the matchup that we got? Basically, we were
beat the best to be the best. Florida's not the crazy, like, the, I don't think they have that dog in them that they've had in regular seasons past. I think we should also make clear,
sure,
you know, like even these stronger Florida teams don't go as deep, but at the end of the day, you can't look past them. We got to show up and we got to take care of the Florida Panthers. It's not going to be the easiest battle. I wanted Carolina.
You wanted Carolina in the first round.
I'm ready. Yeah, let's go.
Well, I mean,
beat the best to be the best.
That was never going to happen, but there's a chance.
But also, with the limping, I'm not upset.
Sure.
I'll take it.
I was on the fence about who I wanted to play before the thing was decided. Obviously, it kind of went in the order of Pittsburgh, then Florida, and then the Islanders for me. But again, like, you have to beat every team. You're not going to get an easy road to the finals, especially in the East. The East is so stacked this year that whoever you end up matching up against, I mean, it's going to be tough. So the regular season means nothing. The real season starts right now at this point. And you're going to have to beat good teams in order to go all the way. And to be honest with you, whoever does go all the way from the East this year, I mean, it's impressive. Because they will have had to have beat some of the best teams that we've seen in a long time. We've had good teams around, and obviously there's been good runs by Tampa and stuff like that. But, I mean, this year is completely stacked. Every series I'm actually looking forward to watching just because they're going to be – it's going to be good hockey. Like, if you're a fan of hockey, it's going to be fun to watch.
Great year.
Hopefully some of these teams really beat up on each other. So that if we do happen to make it to the next round and beyond, we kind of, you know, have some, it's never going to be an easy road. So I don't want to say that, but, you know, hopefully we get beat up on less and other teams get beat up on more. So we'll see.
Yeah. And, you know, to second that and, you know, Pat, the, now that we can officially say it, the most winningest team in NHL history, on the back a little more, you know, that they did this amongst a competitive field. There's a lot of good teams out there.
Absolutely.
This is not, you know, it's up for grabs out there, and it's always up for grabs in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So yeah, I'm watching everything. Are you kidding me? Every night shift at the bar is going to be loaded. I got four TVs to choose from. Let's go.
Well, I think that's why people were kind of nervous about us getting the Panthers in the first round, because they've matched up with us pretty well this year.
Yeah.
So I could see why people would be nervous, but we've also beat them. We've beat them too. So
we beat them pretty good. One time I remember
we beat them 5-3, I think. And then we lost like 5-2.
Yeah.
And then we beat him again. Yeah, you're right. I think we beat him again like 7-3. Now
that's what
I
thought. Yeah, I thought we beat him down one game.
But, you know, we'll see. Again, you can't just assume that you're going to get an easy matchup against anybody. Matchup that we had would have been tough.
I do think the difference makers in this series, and, you know, this is hoping and assuming Patrice is ready to go, but without Patrice Bergeron, yes, it's a massive impact, but I still expect this team to be able to beat the Florida Panthers. The difference makers are Brad Marchand, and I don't have any concern about this other guy. I don't know if you saw he scored a lot of goals this year, but David Pastrnak.
Never heard of him.
I just think he's got another gear.
Well,
and like we kind of saw it down the stretch as he just like would turn on certain shifts and just fire away in right place, right time, but like. I don't know. I just think playoff pasta might be a little torqued up this year after 60 plus goals.
Well, you know what I've been seeing recently is that when Pasta finally realizes in a game that he needs to be that guy, like he needs to be the guy because nobody else is scoring, or, you know, a couple of those games where they were benching a handful of guys so that they could rest, Pasta really took the role of being that leader and being that guy that needed to, especially with Marchand being on such a slump. He didn't miss a lot of games aside from the beginning of the year, but I mean in the resting period, and he wasn't doing anything. I'm very happy that he finally got that goal to kind of open up the scoring for him a little bit, and I think he had a three-point night that game too, so hopefully that kind of gives him a little bit more confidence, because I know that was the biggest drought, I think, of his career as far as scoring goes, and I'm sure that a lot of it was mental. Now that he got that one goal, I'm hoping that he kind of has that confidence back a little bit. That would, I kind of believe that when he had a three-point night that same night. So if we can get him and Pasta on, they're going to be a hard team to play against. And then not to mention all the depth that you have. You have Hathaway, you have Bertuzzi, who are going to go out there and probably bang around a lot too. I think that it's going to be very hard for the Panthers to hang, and I hope that they can get some goals early, because the Panthers feel like one of those teams that are going to bore you to death until Tkachuk goes out there and starts banging around and trying to get the team going, because he's going to do that. That's literally the role that he came in for. He had over 100 points this year. He is a hell of a player. He's going to do whatever it takes to get his team feeling it and get his team in the game. But if you can take him out of the equation and you can get some goals early, I think that it's a wrap. But a lot of things have to go right. No team is going to be easy, and they're not just going to lay down. They want to take down the best team. Every single one of these teams that we play against, should we make it past the first round, is going to want to take down the best team that there ever was. So it's going to be a tough hill to climb, but we should be able to do this.
I agree.
I'm excited.
Me too. I'm ready, man.
We got Monday Bruins, Tuesday Celtics, Wednesday Bruins again. So we got a good week coming up.
Yeah, then Saturday Celtics.
And I think Friday, yeah. Sunday Bruins. I actually was looking, because I was curious, because I have a problem, what prices were for Panthers game, the playoffs down there. You can get in the door for $65 right now.
Yeah, that's not surprising. I think I could do that here.
That's pretty sad.
Look at these Kings prices.
I understand that. I mean, it's still the playoffs. They have a good following. There are a lot of Panthers fans. It's just surprising to me that it would be that cheap. The flight costs significantly more money than the game ticket does. So I won't be going down there, I don't think.
You don't want to go back to Sunrise?
I do want to go back, but it's not going to happen this year, I don't think.
This short, it's like your LA trip now.
Yeah, seriously.
Right back to Sunrise.
Yep.
That's your little novel about it.
When's the first Kings game home?
I'm looking right now.
Be curious to see what those tickets are at the Staples Center, by the way.
It's game 3, Friday.
Ooh.
$112 fees included on SeatGeek to get in.
That's not bad.
Not bad. I mean, they're playing a pretty damn good team.
Is it they match up with Vegas?
No, they got Edmonton.
Oh, right. You got to go. You got to go see McJesus.
I got to go see McJesus, yeah. So I'm going to look into that. Guy at work, his son can get tickets. I don't know if he can do it in the playoffs, but yeah, I would love to go. I wonder if that was like a Monday game 4, but that'd be a long break.
That'd be an NBA break.
Drake with 21 Savage, $453 at the Kia Forum.
Oh, just go to that instead.
However, Neo, Robin Thicke, and Mario, $83.
Oh, we're going off the rails now. Let me ask you, how much is it to go to a Stretch show?
Man, they got to start playing them.
Yeah. If they don't play them, though, in the meantime, we'll give the people what they want.
We can do it for them.
We can do it for them.
Oh, and Suns Clippers though, 66.
Okay,
just like a Panthers game.
You got to go to that.
Definitely got to go to that.
Yeah,
I don't think the Suns are gonna have a problem with the Clippers, but yeah, thinking about that. I think that is Thursday, so I'm thinking about hitting that one up.
Nice.
We'll see. But anyways, back to that concert we were gonna play.
Well, as we always say, basically the last handful of episodes here, it's go Bs, it's go Cs. And it's go Stretched.
Let's go stretch.